If you look at the signs, it looks like you're supposed to go to the right, but you're not. You stay to the left. Otherwise, you'll end up on a 10-mile, like, you know, excursion all the way around. And so I said, okay, that's it's called the Coyote Trail. And so we're like, I said, don't worry about it. I have my GPS. I bought, like a few years ago, I bought this $250 Garmin GPS, right? And then I spent another $100 on a map that's designed for just Washington and Oregon. It's a USGS map, 24,000 to 1 scale, which is a really tight scale. It's got everything on it. Like you can practically see every rock on it. I mean, it's that, you know, it's really good. And so I just punch in Lost Lake, beep, 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 hit go, and it just shows me the whole trail all the way in, and it shows me all the other trails not to go on. It's awesome. Like $400 worth every penny. Stick it on my backpack and we're out of here. We're good to go. And it was funny because like Walker was saying, what do you have to bring the GPS for? You don't need it. And I'm like, well, you know, I spent $400 on it. I'm going to use it. You know, so we get up there and Marlo, smart, very smart guy. He gets to the Y in the trail and he sits down. He's like, Danny's coming. He probably knows which direction to go. He could have went and he would have went up the Coyote Trail. And an hour later, he would have figured out this isn't right, you know. But instead, he just sat down. Very smart guy. So we got there, and I said, yeah, we're going this way. And so we went into Lost Lake, and it was great. You get up there, and it's this beautiful mountain lake. It's like a glass of water. It's just so clear, and there's trout in it, really nice. And, like, nothing like high mountain trout. Man, those things are firm and they're so good. Oh, so the guy, of course, we didn't catch any of them except for one. We caught one trout. Stephen caught it 5 minutes before we were supposed to leave, and he dropped it back in the lake. So sorry, Stephen, I had to tell the story. But anyway, it was a good job. At least he's like, at least I caught one. You know, Walker was out there fly fishing and trying, he didn't catch anything. It's a cool place, though. They've got like a toilet built out there and everything. I had to show the guys the toilet. Check this out. So we got pictures of Stephen not using the toilet, but sitting on the toilet. Okay, and it's kind of funny. I'll show them to your parents later, Stephen. Anyway. And then up there also, there's cell coverage, right? So for the first time in 24 hours, I was able to like turn on my cell phone and I called my wife and I had a great talk with her and we were just chatting it up. And then the boys used the phone. They both decided they wanted to stay an extra day. I couldn't, so we figured out how they could get home. And so they called their folks and got permission to stay an extra day at man camp. And, you know, and so it was good. Everything was going great. We stuck around for until about 3 o'clock. Marlo decided to hike all the way up on the ridge. Now, you could see the ridge from the lake, and it looks like it's just gargantuan tall. 1,000 foot more in elevation over about 1.5 to 2 miles. I mean, it was like really like mountain goat kind of trail. And he's got on his bright orange, like Dayglo orange t-shirt. And he's out of the tree line, so I can see him the whole way going up. It was really fun. And he's up there yelling down. I can't understand him because everything echoes. So he sounds like Chewbacca, you know. It's like, kind of looks like Chewbacca too. He's like this huge guy. I told the boys, I said, well, you know, he went into some trees when he got to the top. I said, well, if we see a mountain goat come down with an orange t-shirt on, we'll know something went horribly wrong. He got up there and he came back down and just, we had such a good day, you know, and everything was going really well. Called Sean one more time. I'm gonna head out, heading back down. Knew I wasn't gonna talk to her until the next day, until that night. And so I said, okay, I'll talk to you later. We get down. We left at 3. We got down, back down the mountain about 5. And I was thinking all the way down, you know, Stephen and Walker aren't coming home with me. I just want to bust out of here. I don't know why, but for some reason I was really missing Sean and the kids. Well, I know why, because she's wonderful and beautiful, and I just wanted to get home, and I was excited to do that. But Dave was cooking steelhead, and I couldn't miss that. So I stuck around until 6 o'clock. We had some dinner. I had about 3 ounces of steelhead and a little handful of green beans, and there was a lot of other food there. But I was just ready to go. I was ready to go. So my stuff was packed. I threw on my backpack and I headed out of Dodge. And the last thing I said to Joe, now listen, I'm going to leave my GPS with you. Because, you know, I don't need it. I'm just going out on the road. And you use it because you're going to be hiking all over the place the next week. You use my GPS. And I left him that. And I headed out. I just left. I said goodbye to the fellas. And Joe asked me, he goes, are you going back on the road or the trail? And I said, I'm tired. I mean, I've already done 9 miles today. I got another 5.5 miles in front of me. I'm just going to do the road. And he's like, okay. And of course, he gives me a hard time about being on the weak sauce, which is, I'm used to that. And so then I did. I started heading out. 6:20, I leave camp, right? And I'm just booking it. Like, the more I'm on the trail, the faster I'm going, because I keep thinking I'm going home. Marlo said to me when he got ready to head up the ridge and asked me if I'd come with him. I said, I don't really want to. I said, is the view that good? And he goes, oh, Danny, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. No. I reject that. I grew up riding motorcycles in the woods. It was all about the destination. We would just boogie it all the way to wherever we were going, and we would play there for the day and then come home for dinner. I mean, that was kind of how it worked. And so it was never about the journey. It was always about the destination. And that's kind of, I think, my problem now. We'll talk about that a little bit too. Anyway, so we get there. I get on the trail, and I'm booking it. I want to get home. You know, I just want to get home. And so I'm thinking, it took us 2 hours to come in. I wonder if I could make it out in less time. And so I'm like going, looking at my watch. I don't know where I'm at. I mean, I know I'm on the road, but at some point, I was supposed to go left and I went right. And I didn't know it. And I started going down this road, and all of a sudden, I started thinking, you know, nothing really looks all that familiar to me. But then I didn't pay that close attention coming in, because I don't. You know, that's just my thing. It's the destination, not the journey, right? So an hour later, I'm going downhill. I run into this green gate, like a gate across the logging road. And I'm thinking, I don't remember that gate. But you know how, you know, you talk to yourself? Then you think, oh, well, maybe it was open. And when we were coming up, we were just chatting and talking, and I didn't notice it. Now, I'm super tired. I didn't know it then, but at least at that moment, but I realized it pretty quickly. I'm pretty dehydrated. And when you're dehydrated, you don't think very clearly. And so I'm booking it, and in the wrong direction, and I don't even know it. And so I'm another hour going down this road. And then my phone rings, and it's Sean. At this moment, I'm like, I'm not recognizing anything. Like, I went over this gate, I don't recognize. I passed a road, I don't recognize. I'm looking around at trees, I don't recognize. Sean calls, and I said, hey. And she goes, how's it going? And I'm like, So I have this app on my phone, Glimpse. And basically, if I send a glimpse, it sends out my GPS coordinates to whoever I send it to. So I'm going to send you a glimpse. I want you to pull up my location on Google Maps and see if you can figure out where I'm at in relation to the Packwood. I know. You know what's going on in Sean's head, right? Like, I'm trying to say everything but the word lost, okay? So I send her a glimpse, and on top of that, I had spent so much time talking to this beautiful lady on the phone up at Lost Lake, my phone's like at 20% battery. And I'm thinking, oh boy, this isn't good. And it's 8 o'clock. Do you know what happens at 8 o'clock? Yeah, the sun starts going down. So anyway, so I said, so call me back. She's okay, I'm going to hang up with you and I'll call you back because you have to send me the glimpse. So I send her the glimpse. She calls me back and she goes, you're in the middle of nowhere. You're like, there's not even, I can't even see on the satellite image, I can't even see the road you're on. Like the glimpse you sent me, you're in the middle of nowhere. And Sean doesn't know where the parking lot is. Like if you don't know where it's at, it's hard to find on a satellite, like on Google Maps, it's hard to find because it's not really well defined up there. Even if you do a search for it, you won't find it. And so she's like, kind of stressed. I said, okay, well look, here's the deal. I think I know how to get there. So I'm going to call you in a half an hour. I'm going to turn my phone off because my battery's really low. I'm going to call you in a half an hour. So I get on this other road that kind of goes in the direction. I think I'm due east of it, but I don't know for sure. And so I get on this road that's heading west. And I'm thinking, okay, so I start working up this road and it starts getting worse and worse. And pretty soon it's not a road anymore. It's like a deer trail. And I'm like, this isn't good. This isn't good. And so a half an hour goes by and I call her up and I'm like, hey, okay. So change of plans. I said, did you find me yet? She goes, no. And I said, okay. And she goes, I called somebody. And I go, oh, who'd you call? And she goes, I called 911. It gets worse. She called 911 from our house, and she got a hold of Michelle Schlecht. Yeah, she goes to our church. She's a girl. Actually, Shelly Bray, okay, was in my youth group, okay? So this is her. And so she's talking to Michelle. And the worst part of this is Michelle is married to Matt. And Matt's a Lewis County sheriff. He's a terrific guy. If you ever get a chance to meet him, I really like Matt a lot. The only flaw he has is he's a Niners fan. And so I give him no end to the grief. Yeah, Steve. No end to the grief about being a Niners fan, because they're terrible, okay? Let's just be honest. Anyway, well, they are now. The quarterback won't even stand up for the national anthem. That's a whole other story, though. But anyway, so, okay, I'm done, Steve, I promise. He didn't leave. That's good. Anyway, and so Steve, I give Steve a whole bunch of garbage about being a Niners fan. Now I'm never going to hear the end of this, I promise you. So she called 911, and so they're like, I said, oh, honey, I wish you wouldn't. Anyway, so I turn around. I said, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back the way I came. I'm going to go back the way I came, and if I can't figure out where I went wrong, I'll just go all the way back to man camp, which means I'll get there about 11 o'clock, and then, oh man, let the ribbing begin, right? You couldn't even walk out, you know. So I get back on the road, and all the distance that I've come so far has been downhill, so guess what? And I'm super dehydrated, and I'm super tired, and I'm a wreck. And so I get back to this point where I went wrong, and there's these two signs there. One sign says, this road, now the road I was going out on, I knew was the service road, that the guys come in with their trucks and they service the dam that's there. And that was the road I was supposed to be on. There's a big sign where I veered off that road that says, this road, the one I was not supposed to be on, is no longer maintained for motor vehicle traffic. You think that would have been a big, like, hello, right? And then there's another sign on the other part of the road that says, Danny, you idiot, go this way, okay? Actually, it just said trail with an arrow on it, but I was like, you know, but I was just, I wanted to get home so bad. This is my excuse. I just love my wife so much. And so I just missed it, you know, I missed it. So I get back. Now, every step I take going back towards Packwood Lake, I lose more and more cell coverage. And so I get to that point, I know where I'm at. Man, there's no better feeling than knowing where you're at. And I also knew how to get home, which was like doubly great. And so I prayed, Lord, I'm gonna turn my phone on. Please let me have cell coverage. Because Sean's like, she's crying, she's really worried. And I felt so horrible. And so I said, okay. And so I pick up the phone and I have bars, like one. And so I call her and I say, honey, I know where I'm at. And I know how to get back to the van. And I'm telling you, that was like a glorious moment in both of our lives. And so I get on the trail, and it's dark. And the only flashlight that I brought with me for the trip was this one. Yeah. That I bought for $1 at Walmart. Because I wasn't going to need a flashlight because I wasn't going to go anywhere in the dark. This is the flashlight I brought for when you got to pee in the middle of the night and you don't want to trip over a stump, right? And so I'm like, it's 9 o'clock, a little after 9 o'clock. It's dark. I mean, it's dark. The moon's not even coming up yet. You know, it's just dark. And I'm going, I'm thinking every step I'm thinking Sasquatch something, you know, and so I'm... And I'm trying, and these things don't light up very well, you know, just like a few feet in front of you. But the great news is I know I'm on the right trail. I knew I was on the right trail, and there was just something about that meant so much to me. I knew I was on the right trail. You ever been, you know what I'm talking about, when you know you're on the right trail? But then Sean asked me, how long is it going to take for you to get back? And I thought, I'm going to be super, 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 like, pessimistic, about an hour. But I figured I was probably make 30 minutes, 45 minutes at the most from the parking lot. Well, 30 minutes goes by, and it's dark, and I don't recognize much because it's dark. Can't see much, and there's no parking lot. 45 minutes go by, no parking lot, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh no, what if I'm not on the right trail? It was scary. I mean, you know, I'm going to spend the night out here and get eaten by something. And worse, my wife's going to spend the night at home, not knowing where I'm at. And that was going to be really awful for her. And so one last time, I kept telling myself, no, look, you got on the right trail, you know that, yes. You haven't left this trail. That's right. Just trust the trail, right? So eventually I get to this opening where I can see the stars, and I turn on my phone and pull up GPS and click the Find Me button. I wish they had a Transport Me button. That would be even better, but I click the Find Me button, and I forgot, because I'm super tired and kind of pretty dehydrated, and so my brain wasn't working very well. I forgot that the GPS takes a minute to really locate you. It generally locates you, but it takes about 3 minutes to really like pinpoint about where you're at. And so it shows me, but it shows me like not on the trail and not anywhere near the parking lot. And I'm like, oh, I'm in the wrong place. And I start praying. I think, God, I just need to, you know. And then I look down again, and it had fine-tuned, and I was right on the right trail, and I was about 10 minutes away from the parking lot. Yes. So I start walking, and I look up. 10 minutes I look up. There's the parking lot. It's up kind of, so I have to climb up this little hill. I get up on the parking lot, and I find my van, and I unlock my van. I get in my van, and I sit down, and I lock the door. And I put my hands on the sand. I swear I felt like I was in a lifeboat on the Bering Sea. I really did. I mean, I was just like, oh. And I called Sean up, plugged my phone in, called Sean and said, guess what, honey? I'm in the van. And she was so excited. She was like, I'll be home in a couple of hours. It was great. And that whole time I'm walking, I'm talking to the Lord. And he said, see, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to help these folks understand what it means to be set apart. And I said, okay, I can tell a story. So if you have your listening guide, we're going to go through these four things that I learned, and then we're gonna have the Lord's Supper, because, you know, I can't think of a better way to start this journey than to remember just how much Jesus loves us by taking the Lord's Supper. So I want you to get this. The first thing that you need to know is this. This is what I learned. Number one, keep your map close at hand and know how to use it. You know, I love Joe, but I should have never left my GPS with him. Not because I couldn't trust him, or because he's not going to use it. Like, Joe knows the woods back there better than he knows his own backyard. He doesn't need that GPS. I don't even know why I left it with him. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't just look at me and roll his eyes like, oh, thanks, you know. Might as well have left him a rubber chicken. I mean, he just won't need it, you know. He won't need it. I needed it. And I started thinking about this idea, like how I wish I had my GPS, and I started making the spiritual connection. You know, the Bible is our GPS. The Bible is the map that God has given us for making it through the journey of life. And so we have, and you've never had more access to the Bible than you have right now. How many of you, raise your hand, have a computer or a smartphone or a tablet someplace in your house or at home? Yeah, of course. You know, you can download an app. It's called YouVersion. You ought to have that on your phone. Y-O-U version, right? And it will, by downloading that app onto your phone, or you can go to YouVersion.com and you can find it there. You can have access to every major English translation of the Bible right now. Right now. Used to be we would give out Bibles at church for people who didn't have them. We don't have to do that anymore. We still do. We have some. If you need one, let us know. But we just tell people, download the app. And that is God's map for our life. It's the Bible. And when I got that GPS and got the map, I had to spend a long time kind of figuring out how it works. It's a little tiny device, but it has a lot of really amazing capabilities. I had to learn how to use it. And it's the same way with the Bible. You've got to learn how to use it. You've got to read it. You've got to study it. You've got to think about it. You've got to meditate on it. You need to talk to other people who know how to use it. You need to talk to other people who have experienced things that with the scripture. I mean, that's just, it's so critical. I was thinking about this verse when I was wandering around out there in the middle of nowhere, and I was actually started praying this verse, Psalm 119, 133. It says this, direct my footsteps according to your word. I was asking God, I don't know where I'm going. I need you to direct my footsteps and let no sin rule over me. The sin of pride, the sin of independence, the sin of, I know, you know, I was so embarrassed. Sean called 911. I'm like, what are you thinking? She's thinking, you're lost. That's what I'm thinking, you know. But man, I needed my map. And that's how we are in the Christian life, spiritually. We just need our map. We need to let God's word direct our footsteps. Otherwise, you know, I found out this. You can be going forward, and never make any progress at all. Just because you're going forward doesn't mean you're making progress. I was going forward for a long time. I was not making any progress at all. The second thing I learned was this. You need to slow down and catch the important details. Remember how I told you that for Marlo it was all about the journey and not about the destination? I've kind of learned that. In life, we tend to be that way too, right? I just need to get through this. When I get that next promotion, I'm aiming for that next promotion. We miss all the details of getting there. or when I get the kids raised, if I can just get the kids through high school, maybe get them through college, get them married off, right? Then we'll be good. We get that next, you know, we just keep looking at that next destination. We get busy working hard and boogieing as fast as we can to try and get where we're going. Just when I retire, man, when I retire, then I'll slow down. Then I'll really spend some time with God when I retire, right? Well, when I retire and then get that honey-do list that's been building up for the last 40 years, when I get that done, then, or maybe when I'm dead, you know? Slow down and catch the important details. Like the big sign that says, Danny, you idiot, go this way. If I would have seen that sign, I would have, you know, I've been fine. But I was just going, thinking about getting home. There's a verse that I love. It's in Matthew. It's Jesus is talking to his guys, and he can see that they're striving. And he's like, he wants them to slow down. He wants them to not miss him in all of their busyness, not miss him. And so he says this. He goes, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Slow down. And maybe that means you need to quit something. I love what Bob Goff says. He says, I quit something every Thursday. It's on his to-do list. Every Thursday on his to-do list, quit something. I mean, you say, well, I could never do that. You find something you can quit. I bet you can. Not school, of course. Guys, nice try, right? But something. The third thing that I learned was this. You need to stay hydrated. Man, that was the biggest deal. I was just not, you know, I knew what I needed to do once I thought about it, but I was so out of it because I was just so depleted. And they taught us when we were up there, don't drink water out of like the lakes and stuff because you could get something like that would make you not happy. And so we had this filter that we filtered water through. I didn't have that. And I left camp thinking I wouldn't need water because I'm just going a couple of hours. I'll be fine. And so I determined that the next time I heard running water, I remembered that, you know, running water sometimes is safer than just like a lake. And so the next time I heard running water, I would get some water. And so I pulled out my canteen. I heard this running water, and it was like a little waterfall right by the road. And so I pulled out my water bottle and unscrewed it. I stepped off the trail. I've been moving nonstop for at least 3 hours at this point. And I unscrewed my lid, and I stepped off the trail. And as soon as I stopped moving, both my legs started cramping severely. Like, ooh. And so it was like a waterfall, which is great. And I got some water, and I just started walking again and drinking. It didn't take very long before my legs started feeling a lot better. Maybe 20 minutes, I was feeling a lot better. And so but it was interesting to me because, you know, Jesus talks about being the source of life-giving water. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 7, verse 38, he says, you have faith in me, and then you'll have life-giving water flowing from deep inside you. Just as the scriptures say, and he's referring back to when God said to Israel, you know, the thing I have against you is this, that you've given up on me, the source of life-giving water, and you've dug for yourself cisterns that you can pour water into. But the problem with cisterns is they're stagnant, and your cisterns leak, and the water doesn't stay in them. And he was upset with them because here he wanted to provide this life-giving water to him. Guys, when we're living through life, and we're experiencing the struggles, we need to remember, stay just drenched in Jesus. Think about Jesus, pray to Jesus, read about Jesus, talk about Jesus, listen to music about Jesus, and fill your life up with the life-giving water. And don't let anything plug up the spigot. Don't let anything plug up the spigot. Don't let anything divert the flow. You know, it plugs the spigot, right? Sin, selfishness, anger, resentment, bitterness. And don't let it happen.